Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
What is up? Welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Wednesday today here. As, I mean, we're coming off of a couple interesting days in sport and baseball where, I mean, are we going to get more jumbled up stuff? The NL West is now tied on top. The Giants beat the Diamondbacks twice and have allowed the Rockies to tie it up at the top. Also, the Dodgers come back into the fray. I mean, you can't get the Giants out. They're six back with 28 games to play, so I think around that number, and a lot against the NL West. So if my fanboyness can spark a little bit of interest, then that maybe around the Bay will be as well. But, you know, I'm not really banking on anything. It's still football. No, I'm kidding. In the Bay Area, at least, maybe football season on the west side of the Bay. But in the east side of the Bay, in the East Bay, the A's winning last night in Houston, as they have been able to. Oh, they're going back and forth a little bit. They did tie him up. Have not had first place alone, I don't think, yet. But they are in a playoff position. They're pretty solid in that playoff position. The Mariners did lose yesterday, so the A's right now are a game back of the Astros in the, or a game and a half back of the Astros in the NL West. But they're also 6.5 games up over the, or 5.5 games up over the Mariners in that second wild card. So the Yankees have actually hit a bit of a stride as well, as they obviously took advantage of that four games against the Orioles last weekend, and took advantage of that, getting four wins, and they've won 8 of the last 10. Have made it a little interesting in the NL, in the AL East. The Red Sox did win last night, though. It'll be tough for them to take over the top spot in the AL East, but just how good the Red Sox are. But in the wild card, they look pretty well. They are going to hold on to that 4.5 game lead. I mean, you can't. They could. I mean, you never know. I mean, the A's, they're looking for a division lead. They're closer to being in first place in the division than they are being in first place in the wild card. So, I mean, if you're the A's, I mean, basically, pick your poison. I mean, you really don't want it. You want to win the division. That's what the new rules put a premium on winning the division. It'd be crazy if the A's do win the division and the Astros are forced to go to play a one-game playoff in New York against the Yankees, assuming the Yankees finish with a better record. The Yankees, I think they're pretty good. They're 10 games clear of playoffs, of being out of the playoffs, as the Mariners have kind of fallen off, losing 6 of the last 10. Yeah, it's just, that's the American League, I guess. That's the Rays, or if the Rays were in the National League, they'd be, well, they're 70-62 right now. They'd be right where the Phillies are. Phillies are also 70-62, 2.5 back in the wild card. Yeah, so I mean, that's crazy, but they're not. They're actually 9.5 back in the wild card. Compared to the Mariners, 74-58, not good enough in the National League. In the American League. Now that this last 2 days have happened, the Giants have made it, got it back within. What are they now, back 6.5 in the wild card, 6 back in the division? I mean, you still have eight teams within two, either in a playoff spot right now. So let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, actually, that's recounting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's still 8 teams within 2.5 games of a playoff spot, with the Cardinals, on top of the NL West, or NL wild card. Brewers in that second spot, and then the D-backs and the Rockies they get listed in the wild card ranking standings because they're tied atop the division. So whoever obviously takes the first place spot, second place will drop into basically the next team up. As you got three, the NL West, you got to give credit to the NL West, you got to give credit to the NL Central. I know the East has been kind of the Braves and the Phillies The Phillies are in there as well, but you got three teams in the NL West fighting for it. If you want to count the Giants, you could say four. And then you also got three teams in the NL Central as well fighting for it. You could say four if you want to count the Pirates. I mean, the Pirates are 8.5 back. They're not quite where the Giants are. Giants have won four in a row, so that's helpful always. But they have a tendency to stick around 500. So, but they were below 500, four games under. They won four in a row. Now they're back at 500, and we'll see what happens. It'll go over 500 for a day or two, and they'll come right back. The sports radio hosts call it the gravitational pull of 500. It goes both ways, actually. So when he dropped to, they won't drop over too far, but they will never go up too far either. In that, looking at that dynamic. All right. Well, it was a really short slate on Monday. Only seven games we got to cover, so that's why I was able to take a little time at the beginning of the show here to just go a little over some standing updates, and then talk about, you know, what happened yesterday as the A's and Astros play. They had an interesting game, and we'll get to that one in a moment. But, you know, we'll start on Monday. Short slate on Monday, only seven games. Giants and D-backs will start over there. The Giants get a win 2-0 as they hold the Diamondbacks scoreless on Monday. The lone run scored in a Steven Duggar two-run shot, one that went over the right field wall there in San Francisco. Almost went in the water, but just was a little too low. His second home run of the season and of his career for Steven Duggar's first at AT&T Park. The Giants actually had Chris Stratton on the mound. He pitched beautifully. Eight shutout innings, five hits, no walks, six strikeouts. As he was the guy, he was very good at the end of last year for the Giants. One of their best, if not their best pitcher. And he also was very good at the beginning of the year this year. So, I mean, he had some mechanical issues that kind of caught up with him, and he was able to right the ship in a Triple A start and working in the bullpen. I think Ryan Vogelsong, of all people, came and helped him out with finishing his pitches and making sure, because he has a lot of movement. He has a two-seam movement, but his tendency to have that two-seam movement work from the outside corner right into the middle of the plate, he needs to work it off the outside to the outside corner, and that's how you get good pitches. I mean, you saw, if you want to watch a little exhibition on pitching last, how to like a pitch like how they used to, like Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine did back in the day, watch the next game. Go look at that. The Clay Buchholz. I'll get to it in a moment here. The Giants and D-backs yesterday. Clay Buchholz has a sinker and a cutter. Basically, was just Xing that outside corner, just pew, 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 just playing with it there. Obviously, that game was low scoring as well. We'll get to it in a moment here. But yeah, the Giants, they win 2-0 over the D-backs on that lone home run. Stratton with the great performance, and then the save goes to Hunter Strickland as he was able to get the last out in the ninth inning. All right, White Sox beat the Yankees 6-2 as Carlos Rodon gets the win over Tanaka on Monday in the Bronx. Home runs in this game, Gleyber Torres hit his 20th of the year. That was the only home run for the Yankees. The White Sox did not have a home run, but Carlos Rodon went seven innings of two-run ball, two hits, four walks, two strikeouts, and that one home run allowed to Torres, and that was it, though. The Yankees dropped this one 6-2. In Baltimore, the Orioles win 7-0 over the Blue Jays as they had a good start. From their starter, David Hess, went six shutout innings, four hits, two walks, five strikeouts for the Orioles right-hander there. Gets his third win of the season as he was pretty stymied in that lineup for the Blue Jays. The home run for the Orioles came from Trey Mancini, his 19th of the season, a three-run shot as the Orioles win in a shutout, 7-0. Nationals beat the Phillies 5-3 in Philadelphia. Steven Strasburg outduels Zach Eflin as the Nationals getting some. I mean, are they meaningful for the Nationals? Not so much. But are they meaningful for the Phillies? I'd say yes. These losses are not what they need right now as they lose 5-3 in this one. The home run for the Phillies came from Rhys Hoskins, his 27th of the season. The Nationals got one from Matt Wieters, his 6th of the year. Steven Strasburg got the win, his 7th of the season. Six innings pitched, two runs, five hits, three walks, five strikeouts for Strasburg. And then Phillies had they had Eflin, who gave up three earned runs, five total, so two unearned runs. They must have had he committed an error. Eflin did on a throw and cost them a couple runs. So that's how it ended there. 5-3 was the final. The Cubs beat the Mets in Chicago 7-4 as they scored early and often in this one, getting runs. I think it was a three-run third inning for Chicago. on Monday. As I mean, they got to take advantage of these games. I mean, they got to keep pace in that division. Yeah, 3-run third inning was the key there for the Cubs, as the home runs in this one came from Anthony Rizzo, his 22nd of the season. The Mets got one from Michael Conforto, his 19th, and from Plawecki, his 5th of the season. The catcher there for the Mets, Kevin Plawecki, his 5th. The starter for the Cubs was John Lester, went 6 innings of a 3-run ball, 5 hits, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, a homer allowed. The Mets had Noah Syndergaard. He actually got give up 4 runs over 6 innings of work, 9 hits, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts for him, as he takes the no decision, actually, in this one. The Cubs were able to take the lead later in this game. It was tied after Syndergaard came out. The Mets tied it up 4-4, and the Cubs were able to untie it in the bottom of the 7th inning and win. To Houston we go. Astros and A's, as the A's were not able to score much against Gerrit Cole. Got four runs early, 2 in the 2nd, 2 in the 3rd, but the Astros had a 5-run 3rd inning to set the tone in this one. And then they added a 6th-run 8th inning to really blow it open. The A's had a few home runs in this game, as they got one from Marcus Semien, a bomb. Absolute bomb for Marcus Semien, his 11th that went up in the train tracks. And then Matt Chapman hit his 21st of the season for the A's. The Astros had a home run from Tyler White, his 9th, and from Alex Bregman, shocker, his 25th of the season for Bregman, as he's been absolutely crazy at the plate. The guy's got 42 doubles. 42 doubles on the year. All right. In the final game of Monday, Angels and Rockies, as the Angels win, though, in the bottom of the Rockies came back. They got a grand slam from DJ LeMahieu to take a 7-5 lead. And then the Angels came back and scored 5 in the 8th inning to take that 10-7 lead, and they would hold on to win. So the home runs in this one came from Shohei Ohtani, his a 3-run shot in the 4th inning, his 15th of the season. Mike Trout hit his 31st. And the home run for LeMahieu was his 12th of the year. Tony Walters added his 3rd of the season earlier in that game, as the Angels win late at home. All right, then moving right along to Tuesday's games. We'll get a couple in here before the break. Actually, hold on. Well, yeah, after the break, we'll just take a quick break in a minute here, but we'll do the Giants and D-backs games. The Giants win 1-0. They shut out the Diamondbacks again for the 2nd game in a row. The D-backs have not scored in San Francisco. The Giants get a run in the bottom of the 9th inning on a single by Gorkys Hernandez off the bench, coming up a pinch-hit walk-off single to knock in Steven Duggar and get the win there for the Giants. The starter for the Giants was Madison Bumgarner. He was very good. 7 shutout innings, 4 hits, 4 walks, 5 strikeouts. So he backs up that 8-inning outing he had last time out with another great one, and lowers his ERA down to 2.68 for the season, as he had a couple rough ones. The last two starts were good. The one before that, not so good. So it's good to see him on a back and a better track here. Will Smith actually gets the win in relief, because it was a walk-off at the end there. And that's it. He gets the win. He's 2-2 now. No home runs in this game. Obviously, the lone run scoring on that walk-off single by Gorkys Hernandez. Actually, so that started for the – I'm going to quickly give credit to Clay Buchholz, because he was very good in this one. 7 innings of a shutout ball as well. 5 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. So a very similar line there for Buchholz to Bumgarner. Buchholz had 91 pitches, and let's see, the ground ball, 8 ground balls, 4 flyouts. That's exactly what you want. He's a sinker baller, throws that cutter. He was literally X-ing the outside pitches. Who was the home plate umpire? Was Adrian Johnson? Yeah. Adrian Johnson was not helping out either Bumgarner nor Buchholz with a kind of a weird strike zone on the outside corner. Some pitches were, even if it was off the plate, were getting called, and the same pitch wasn't getting called. Not very consistent on the outside corner there from the umpire, but you got to pitch through it, and they did. They pitched pretty well. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. We'll come back and finish the games for Tuesday, and then we'll get into some talk on the NL West race, what's going on there. Is it going to be Rockies or D-backs? The Dodgers going to sneak up as they have gotten their way back, worked their way back in due to some losses from the D-backs. They could thank their rivals for that. And then, of course, the Yankees making their way back, as they have probably solidified themselves into the playoffs if they hadn't already. They just aren't. I have some comments on the Yankees that you could extrapolate on what Pedro Martinez said a week or so ago about how this team doesn't really have much energy or much leadership. I kind of agree. I'm just going to bring. I'll talk about it in the third segment, as well as the NL Central race. The Cubs have actually extended that out. And the Brewers, after all the moves they made in the offseason, all the moves they made during the trade deadline, are probably going to miss the playoffs. I mean, they are in a playoff spot right now in the second wild card. But then you have to go, if the season ended today, they'd have to go to St. Louis and win a game, one game playoff. Obviously, any of the teams in the NL West are also right there on their heels. So whether that's the Rockies, Dodgers, or D-backs, all of them right there stacked up against you. As the Brewers, Milwaukee, you see them. We'll still get the Brewers and their schedule upcoming, but it's probably a bunch of games against the NL Central, which is not any slouch at all. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Wednesday today here as we're going to be covering the games from Tuesday, just from yesterday, as they did have some playoff implications, at least as of now. All the games do matter in their own sense. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be able to point a finger. Oh, that game was the game right there. Like in football, there's only 16 games. You could point at a game that could make or break your season pretty much. There's going to be a game eventually that it'll come down to, and you'll find out that it comes down to the end of the season. However, you have a bunch of games to work with to like be like the Red Sox, and it's not going to come down to the wire. You can clinch way ahead of time and be just fine. So if that's why you have we have 162 games to figure it out. But then also you have teams like the Cardinals, who we thought were dead in the water. They fire their manager, and then they go on this run. They make their interim manager, their official manager. Actually, yesterday they dropped the tag on him as he becomes as the full-time manager for the St. Louis Cardinals, and that's going to be something that could. I mean, they went on a run. They're in a playoff spot right now. They're gonna be if the season ended today, they'd be hosting a wild card game. Mike Schlitt. That's his name there for Mike Schlitt is the manager there for now the Cardinals full time, no longer dropping the interim tag as he was made that announcement, I think, was made yesterday, the day before. So deserves it. Pulled that team up by its bootstraps and got it into a playoff spot, now sitting on top of the wild card by a game and a half of all things, winning 8 of the last 10, as they have seemingly won 8 of the last 10 to the last 30 games. As the Cardinals have been on a tear, the Rockies were on a tear. They cooled off a little bit, but you know, this is actually, it's all about being ambition, like the Rockies or the D-backs right now. I mean, you go on a run at the end of October, at the end of August, you push it into September. I mean, you can't count even the Nationals out. 6 games, it's a week, it's a one series. The Giants win today again against the D-backs. They're 5 back in the division. I know there's 3 teams ahead of them, but they have games against those teams too. So it's interesting. You have a lot of head to head games. It's going to be it's easy to get some movement around. And I know we're going to look at the NL Central, the Brewers and their outlook. They actually do play the Giants. Actually, go to Milwaukee before. But yeah, the Giants, they still have a series against the Rockies. They still have two series against the Rockies, two against the Padres. They're the Dodgers. So, I mean, the NL West beats up on itself, and you can see some movement. Obviously, there's the last game of the year against the D-backs today for SF. But, you know, this is a team on the outside looking in, and there's a lot of teams like that on the outside looking in. The Phillies, they're not in a playoff spot right now. They're actually they're probably in fourth place in the wild card because it's also closely bunched in the wild card right now. But they're actually, let's see, 4.5 back in the division, which is trending the wrong way as they were in first place. And then they flip-flopped, and then now they're going the wrong direction. So losing those games to the Nationals are not helpful. But so speaking of those games, we have to cover them right now. So let's go get right to it. We'd left off. Giants did walk off on the D-backs last night. We covered that in the last segment. So Yankees and White Sox, they got a walk off as well. A home run in the bottom of the ninth inning by Neil Walker, of all people, to tie the game, to take the lead there and win the game. The game was actually tied. They were trailing for much of this game. 4-0 was the score until the sixth inning when Miguel Andujar hit his 22nd home run of the year to make it 4-2. And then Aaron Hicks also hit his 22nd home run of the year to make it 4-4. And those are both two-run shots to tie it up, and then the home run to win it, of course. But yeah, Hicks, that was a bomb. That field, the Yankee Stadium is just kind of a joke. That would have been a home run in a lot of parks, but just not. That's because of the angle. I don't like those big home runs that just kind of scratch the bottom of the fence, the other fence, but it is what it is. As the Yankees get to win 5-4, home run for Walker, that was his 9th of the season. In that one, those were all the home runs for the Yankees. The White Sox did not have a home run as they lose a tough luck loss. They are in the bottom of the 9th inning. Orioles beat up on the Blue Jays for the second day in a row. This one was 12-5. They scored in all but 3 innings in this game. Early and often, a 4-run third inning was their was the height of it. And the home runs in this one came from Tim Beckham, his 9th of the season. They got one from the young left fielder there. That's Craig Gentry. He's not young, but he's back in the majors, it looks like. And he's kind of young, but he's back in the majors with the Orioles. He is first home run of the season. He actually went 3 for 5 yesterday with 3 RBIs. Good for him. That was the home runs for the Orioles. The Blue Jays had one from Justin Smoke, his 20th, and Randall Grichuk, his 19th of the season, as the Orioles had a start from... Well, nobody really pitched well in that game, so we'll move right along. Nationals and Phillies. Nationals win again 5-4 as the Phillies bullpen strikes again. Phillies had a lead 3-2 in this one, gave up 3 runs in the top of the 9th inning to blow this lead, as they actually got 2 home runs off of Max Scherzer. Odubel Herrera hit his 21st of the year off Scherzer, and Alfaro hit his 9th of the year off Scherzer. But an Anthony Rendon in the top of the 9th inning off Pat Neshek. Took the lead there for the Nationals. That was his 17th, and then they were able to extend that lead out a little bit more on a pass ball or something. It looks like, or pass ball. Ryan Zimmerman stole third and then scored. Ryan Zimmerman stole third, and then the throwing error from the catcher allowed him to score, make it 5-3. And then the Phillies actually did score a run. That run did matter. The game was 5-4 final, so everything matters. Aaron Nola, he was a starter for the Phillies, was very good. 7 innings of 1 run ball. Well, 1 run earned, 2 total runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, gets to no decision, as obviously it was blown late in that game. Max Scherzer went 5 innings, led 3 runs on 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, those 2 home runs allowed, and he gets no decision as well. The Nationals win 5-4. Red Sox walk off on the Marlins 8-7 after the Marlins tied it up in the bottom of the top of the 9th inning, 7-7. They actually got 5 runs in the 8th inning. Lots of late inning scoring these days in baseball. Marlins scored 5 runs. It was what was the score here? 4-1. They scored 5 runs in the 8th inning. Then the Red Sox came right back, scored their own 3 of their own runs to make it 7-6. And then the Marlins tied it up in the 9th, and the Red Sox walked it off in the bottom of the 9th. That's kind of how it's been working this year for a lot of different teams. As I'll give you the home runs in this one. The home runs came from Eduardo Nunez, his 8th of the season for the Red Sox. Then for the Marlins, they got a home run from Starlin Castro, his 11th. JT Realmuto hit his 17th of the year. And then they got a home run from their young center fielder. Isaac Galloway, his 2nd home run of the season, as he hit a solo shot off Brian Johnson in the 3rd inning. The Red Sox, though, the walk-off came on a Eduardo Nunez ground out that he looks like he beat out, or was an error by the shortstop. Yeah, error by the shortstop, and he was able to beat it, be safe there at first, and then Judy Martinez was able to score and win the game there for the Red Sox in the bottom of the 9th. Reds beat the Brewers 9-7 in Cincinnati as Di Sclafani gets the win in this one. Milwaukee tried to come back a little bit, but the Brewers said, Reds said no, scoring their 2 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning to retake the lead, and then they would win 9-7. In this one, the home runs in this game came from Peraza, his 9th of the season, And then the Brewers got a home run from Christian Yelich, actually two of them, his 24th and his 25th of the season. And those were the two home runs for the Brewers in that game. They lose at 9-7. Indians beat the Twins 8-1. Carlos Carrasco gets his 16th win of the season. He was very good in this one. 7 2/3 shutout innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, 11 strikeouts for Carrasco. He's got to heat up. That's what you want. You want to heat him up for the playoffs, as he's going to be a big weapon. Now rotation for the Indians, you think it'd be Carrasco, Kluber, and Trevor Bauer, maybe, and have a Mike Clevenger come out of the bullpen. That's what I would say. Or if you want to have four starters, you could do that too, and have Shane Bieber out of the bullpen, or use maybe Bauer out of the bullpen. But they've all been pretty good this whole season. As Carrasco, we have to win the home runs in this game for the Indians. Were non-existent. They scored 8 runs on a bunch of singles. It looks like they had 14 hits, only one extra base hit. Jose Ramirez, as Lindor was 4 for 5 with 2 runs scored. Ramirez 2 for 4 with 3 RBIs, as they were able to really just kind of score their runs. The home run in this game, though, was for the Twins. The outfielder there for them, that's Jake Cave, hit his 26th home run, or no, that's his 26th RBI, his 7th home run of the season. For Cave, as he was the lone run of the game for the Twins in the 9th inning. All right. Braves and Rays, as the Braves get the win 9-4 in Atlanta, as the home runs came from Ender Inciarte, his 9th of the year. Tyler Flowers hit his 6th home run of the season for the Braves. The home run for the Rays was the first home run of the season for their right fielder, Brandon Lowe, also his first major league home run there in Atlanta, as he got that one in the 6th inning off of Tehran. And the Braves were able to score 4 runs in the bottom 9th inning to break that 5-5 tie. The Rays actually did tie it up 5-5 in the top of the 8th, and then the Braves scoring 4 in the bottom of the 8th to get the win there, as they were able to get some clutch hits in that inning, and a home run by Tyler Flowers. All right, they get the win. They needed to keep winning to extend that lead out. Dodgers beat the Rangers 8-4 in Texas, as is that Caleb Ferguson getting the win there for the Dodgers in relief. It looks like Walker Buehler was the starter. He had a couple rookies there for the Dodgers. Walker Buehler only lasted 4 innings. He only gave up 2 runs on 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. But I guess that's national. Well, they're playing in the American League Park. Interesting. At 84 pitches. I guess Dave Roberts wants to make sure he's all right. Brian Dozier hit his 20th of the year. I think that's his 3rd or 4th for the Dodgers, at least maybe 5th. Making good on that trade, as the Rangers did not have a home run in this one, as they got beat up pretty good. Dodgers scored in all but 3 innings in this one. 3 in the 3rd, 4 in the 2nd, and then 1 in the 5th, 6th, and the 7th inning for them. All right. Next up, Mets and Cubs, actually. They went into the 10th inning tied at 1 inning when the game was suspended. It will resume today. I'm assuming, obviously that's how it works. They pick it up right where they left off. It will resume today as the game was suspended in the top of the 10th inning. It's 1-1. The run scored on Jacob DeGrom hit a single in the 6th inning and scored a run. And then David Bodie had a sacrifice fly to tie it up in the 7th inning. Jacob DeGrom, let's see his line. It went 8 innings of 1-run ball, 8 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. Remember, this game's not over yet. And the Cubs had Cole Hamels go 5 shutout innings, 4 hits, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts, as he threw 93 pitches and came out, and the bullpen did not hold it. But you know, this game is still going on. The Cubs can still win it today. Is they will play the top of the 10th inning starting. I'm not sure when the game is going to start, but they have, I'll have a time for you in just a minute. But finish off Tuesday. We still have a few more games to get to here. A's and Astros, as they played in Houston yesterday. A's get the win 4-3 as they scored a run in the top of the 9th inning to take the lead there. It was 3-3. The A's had a 3-0 lead, or 3-1 lead, sorry. A 3-1 lead after Matt Olson, his 24th home run of the season, a 3-run shot. As then the A's were able to take the lead again in the 9th on a Nick Martini ground rule double to knock in a run, and they got the win there in Houston, getting them back within a game and a half. Royals beat the Tigers 6-2 as Jacob Junis went the distance in this one. He was excellent. Actually watched his highlights. He was very good. 9 innings, complete game, 2 runs allowed, 6 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts. He threw 104 pitches. That's it. Did give up a home run in this one. That was to Jacoby Jones in the eighth inning, his ninth of the season. The Royals had a home run from Mondesi, his fifth of the season. That's their shortstop there in Kansas City. Alberto Mondesi, his fifth of the year, as Junis gets his seventh win, and the Royals win 6-2. Cardinals win again 5-2 over the Pirates as Jack Flaherty was excellent, gets his eighth win of the year. He was went seven innings of one-run ball, four hits, no walks, five strikeouts. Very nice start for him. Home runs in this game came from Tyler O'Neill, his seventh of the year. Jose Martinez hit his 16th of the season for the Cardinals as they get the win in St. Louis there, 5-2. The home runs, hold on, check, make sure there's no home runs for the Pirates. Nope, that was it, as a 5-2 final. Rockies beat the Angels 3-2 in Anaheim. Kyle Freeland gets the win in this one as he was good, as he went six innings of one-run ball, five hits, two walks, six strikeouts for them. The Angels kind of did the same thing that the Rays have been doing, except they didn't have a piggyback guy. They had Nick Ramirez pitching an inning. And they had, is that Josh Johnson or Jim Johnson pitched an inning, and then they had basically the whole bullpen. The longest reliever was three innings of relief for Taylor Cole, and he was pretty good actually in this one. But the last run scored in the that was later. The Rockies were able to take the lead, extend the lead out to 3-1 in the seventh inning. But then the Angels could not come back. Only 3-2 was the final. No home runs in this game at all, except for Carlos Gonzalez hit his 15th of the year in the first inning, the 2-run shot. There you go. All right, Padres and Mariners was 2-1 was the final on this one. A slow scoring affair as the Jacob Nix was excellent in this one, shutting down the Mariners lineup as they get the win. He gets his second win of the season. 2-1 was the final. Home run for Travis Jankowski, his third of the year, and Nelson Cruz hit his 32nd of the year at the end of that game when Nix was going for the complete game. He actually did get taken out after that, so he went 8 1/3 innings pitched of one run ball, no walks, no strikeouts. Wow, a homer allowed, eight hits, as he was very economical. 11 ground balls, 8 fly balls, and that's how you get your 19 outs there. In that's only 19 outs. I don't know how he got the rest of the outs. I mean, he got, what is that, 20? He got 25 outs. So I mean, he must have figured it out. 6 more outs on the bases, I guess, somehow. All right. I mean, you could figure that one out. It's interesting. 11. You think it'd be different? It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. All right, that's actually it. That's it for this segment, actually, too. So we got to go. I'll come back after the break, and we'll talk all the stuff I have up on the top of the line there, and we'll break it down for you on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Wednesday today here, as we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on out west, what's going on with the Yankees, if they're going to make a run for it or anything, if they're trying to make a push the Red Sox to the brink in September, because we still have one more month. This is the end of August, so we have a couple more days of August, but I mean, it is the end of August, and by next week we'll be in September, and we'll be having expanded rosters. Guys will be teams will probably be adding about 6 or 7 guys, few to the bullpen, few to the bench here and there, as the stretch run will start. It's the dog days are over and the stretch run starts in September, and the games, I mean, they all matter. I don't know, people are like, oh, they don't matter, but they all matter. It all adds up. You wouldn't be here if you didn't play all those games, but now obviously it really matters. You could add a secondary thing on that. September baseball, and there's only one thing better than September baseball, and it's postseason baseball. And so obviously we're going to be getting down to this nitty gritty here, where the National League, like I said, if you want to count the Giants, it's 9 teams. You don't, that's 8 teams, or actually 10 teams if you want to count the Giants and Nationals. They're 6.5 games back in the wild card. Giants are 6 back in their division. Nationals are, I think, 7 in their division, 8 in their division. So a little different there, but if you want to count those teams that are 6.5 games back, so be it. That's 10 teams in the National League, 10 of 15 that could still have a chance to be in a playoff spot. Only 5 of them make it, and 2 of them play in a 1-game playoff. So isn't it fun? In the American League, it looks pretty much all set in I think the Mariners have faded away. They're going to keep fading away, I think. I don't know if it's going to make their, they've lost to the Angels. They lost yesterday, and they're playing in minor league or interleague play. They lost to the Padres. They can't afford to lose to the Padres and score one run on Jacob Nix. And if you're going to make the playoffs in the American League West, you're not. Or in the wild card at all. Because, the A's, they're going to fight for the first place in the division all month. That's fine. The Yankees, could try and make a run for it in the West. The East, they're not going to try. They're definitely going to do that. But the thing with the Yankees is, here we go. They just don't. Who's the leader of that team? Brett Gardner? The manager, maybe? They have 2 of their best players are rookies. It's funny because Gleyber Torres is great, but he's not even the best rookie on his own team. Miguel Andujar is really good. He's hitting over 300, 22 home runs. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year over. If you want to throw Shohei Ohtani in there, you can do that. He finally he was dormant for about 2 months because A, he was injured, and B, he wasn't hitting. Now he's hit 3-4 home runs in a week, and everybody's going crazy. Oh, Shohei still exists, actually, because his team is just, so that's a different scenario. If you're Shohei Ohtani and his agents and his family, and you have a little powwow with Mike Trout and say, hey, what's going on here? What's going on here? Why are you still here? This team is dysfunctional. We're 64-69. They don't have any pitching. If I get hurt, all of it went to hell. What's going on here? If you're Shohei Ohtani, you take Mike Trout into a room. It's like, we need to get the heck off this team. Get me to a better team. Both of them need to do that. And or Mike Socha, I know there was a report out that he actually totally put down that he was going to resign at the end of the year, or step down at the end of the year, which he absolutely should, or get fired. In general. But Artie Moreno isn't going to do that because he's his man. 64-68. If you thought that Tyler Skaggs and Garrett Richards and Shohei Ohtani, who you didn't know anything about, who only was going to pitch one day a week, and then whoever else was going to go up against Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole and Dallas Keuchel and Lance McCullers and Charlie Morton. Oh, yeah, that's the best bolt rotation in the league. In the same division, you were on something. You are on something. And I've talked about this a million times. They did not have the rotation. Don't talk about injuries, blah, blah, blah. The A's had injuries. The A's had their whole rotation go to crap. Everything went to... Megden got hurt. Bassett got hurt. Everybody got hurt. Frankie Montas came up, pitched well. He went back down. They were lucky that Brett Anderson just had a bad start for the first time in weeks on Monday. And then they get a great start yesterday from Edwin Jackson. So, and they have the best bullpen in the league. So, the Angels don't have a bullpen. Cam Bedrosian is the only guy I can name on their bullpen. Maybe Nick Ramirez, because I just saw his name on the box score. The A's bullpen, they have 3 closers. They have 4, actually, if you think Lou Trevino could be a closer for a lot of teams, actually. They have 4 guys who have actually closed before, 3 guys who have actually closed in a major league game and have saves, multiple saves under their belt in Trinan, Familia, and Rodney. Obviously, Familia and Rodney coming over in trades. They get Mike Fiers in a trade. He's been very good for them. Wow, what a deal that was. I love that deal, honestly. I'm like, get him off that Tigers team. Put him on a team that's good. I like Mike Fiers. And then you work with your AAA guys, Nick Martini and Ramon Laureano and all those guys like that. Work them up, work them in. The Angels, who they got? They got Trout. They got old Pujols, who has to play first base now, apparently, because Ohtani can't play the field. He's DHing. You're forcing your worst defender to play in the field. So it just it doesn't make any sense. It's just the fact that the GM, who should be fired probably, and the maybe he won't get fired because he signed Trout to such a sweetheart deal. But yeah, it just shakes your head. Makes you shake your head. They're a forgotten team. Forgotten. They're the fourth best team in their division. They are. You can look at the standings. They're the fourth best team in the division, and they're very close, probably. No, not that close, but still close enough. They're closer to being the worst team in the division. They are being the third best team. There's 10.5 games to separate them and the Mariners from third and fourth place, and there's only 7 games to separate the Angels and the Rangers from last place. There you go. I know I took way too much time on my Angels, but on the Angels rant, but just this ugh. Whatever. But yeah, no, that's because they're going off of the Yankees. They have some good young stars, too. They have Ajohar. They have Torres. They have Judge. But who's the leader? Is Judge the leader? I don't think so. He's still trying to figure out what it's like to be a star in the Bronx. Giancarlo Stanton just literally went underground and disappeared, even though he's still a good player. And you hear about him when he goes to Miami and revisits his old team. That's about it. You normally hear he's not on. You think the ESPN would just be all over him. They're not, because he's not really playing. What's he hitting, like 260? I have to check now because now I'm questioning it. But you know, it's just it's funny because this is simple stuff that you have a team like the Yankees and they're just kind of treading water. They're in a playoff spot. They're not going anywhere. He's hitting 277. Let's see, Stanton hitting 277, which is nothing really to write home about, with 32 home runs, 82 RBIs. That's everybody on the team has that, and they still aren't going to do it because their pitching isn't that good. This is not. And pitching comes, it always is in pitching. You lose to the, you don't score runs, then you score a bunch of runs, then you don't score runs. Your hitting has been up and down all year long. They're going to get knocked out either in the first round or in the wild card game. I would not be surprised if the A's beat them. If the A's beat them in the wild card, the A's score quick. They get on you. They have a good. The only problem with the A's, the thing is, the hiccup for the A's now is the fact that Sean Manaea and Trevor Cahill just both got put on the disabled list. And Sean Manaea got put on the disabled list with rotator cuff soreness or tendonitis. And that's no bueno. No bueno. That's like 3 weeks right there. Maybe you can come back and pitch in that wild card game. But right now, if you're the Yankees, you know it's going to be Severino in the wild card game. The A's. You want to win the division so bad. You want to win that division so bad. Because if you win the division, guess who you're playing? The Indians. You're going to play the Indians. You are. I'm giving the Red Sox the best record in the league. I'm sorry. I'm just going to give it to them. You're going to play the Indians. They're probably going to have a better record than you. You're going to have to go play them in a 5-game series. And you're going to have a good chance. You're going to have a chance. However, if you go into the wild card game, you got to beat the Yankees, number one, with Severino and their lineup. And who are you going to put out there? I mean, I guess, honestly, I would be totally fine with putting Mike Fiers out there. I would be totally fine. Because it's not really about the starter. The starter needs to get through four-ish innings and then give it to the bullpen. Trevino, Familia, Rodney, Trinan, line them up. Line them up. I mean, you could even throw, they have a couple guys in there. Buchter and Pagan are also very good. Also very good. So, I mean, their bullpen is just lights out, and that could go to play their favor. I don't think they're ever going to get on top of the Yankees. So, yeah, it's just, it's interesting, you know. Interesting is how it's going to work this year, but and how it's going to come down to the end of the stretch. I'm just we're in for a ride. We're in for a ride, and honestly, the biggest ride might be in the division I haven't even talked about yet, and that's the NL Central. The NL Central, the Cardinals were dead in the water. They fire the manager. They go on a run. They hire their interim manager now as the full-time manager, which is just kind of a semantics thing. But they're in the first wild card in the National League by a game and a half. I mean, the Cubs look like they're going to be kind of okay. I mean, I know that they Chris Bryant's on his way back, and so that's okay. The thing is, the Cubs, what happened with them is they started to pitch. Cole Hamels has been excellent. Quintana has turned it around. Kyle Hendricks has had a good couple starts. Lester's been Lester. So they're going to pitch. And they still have, even without Bryant, they still got Rizzo, they still got Baez, they get freaking Daniel Murphy in a trade. They got Bats, too. So the Cubs, honestly, I saw on NFL on MLB Network yesterday, it's like, is Chris Bryant going to hold the Cubs away from winning a World Series? Maybe. But if they do get him back and he's healthy and swinging it, watch out for the Cubbies, man, because they got it. They got it. I don't know, but the bullpen is kind of. I know that their bullpen is still working out, but they have Joe Maddon and he knows what to do. I would, if there's anybody I would trust working a mix and match in a bullpen or using guys a certain way, it'd be him. And one thing is they don't have Aroldis Chapman anymore. They don't have it. Who's their? I don't know who their really top end back end guy. The rotation of that bullpen is. I can't really name anybody in their bullpen right now. Hold on, I'm looking at the box score from. So yeah, they got Pedro Strop, they got Steve Cishek and Edwards. I mean, that's pretty good. Edwards is good. I like Cishek as well. Strop is really good from the left side, so that's actually good. That's a good little sign there. The Cubs will be fine. I think they'll be fine. But then right now we have two NL Central teams in the two wild card spots. It would be pretty interesting. And then the three NL West teams right underneath them. Obviously, two of them. One of them is going to become the division leader because of the tie. But that's kind of how it's drawn out there for the standings. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. We'll come back and we're going to talk about we're going to go through the starting pitchers for the next two days, and then we're going to send everybody off for a good Wednesday and go enjoy some baseball. So everybody, stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Wednesday today here, final segment of the day. I mean, we can continue talking about this stuff. We don't have to go right to the games. The probable starters, there we go, I can speak. Probable starters, but you know, this is interesting because this is how it's been for a while. Obviously, we've known that the American League is kind of set in stone. The Mariners and A's really the only teams making some noise in there. Indians, basically, you can give them the AL Central. That's done. The Yankees did get a bit of a reprieve due to the sweep of the Red Sox by the Rays, and then the Yankees get the sweep of the Orioles and get 3.5 game. Basically, got a 3.5 game swing because the Yankees had a doubleheader on Saturday, so they get that extra half game. But I'm trying to look at here is that who is, have we evened out the games yet? Are the Cubs and everybody else played the same amount of games? I think we are close. Yeah. So it looks at the Cubs. So it's 77 and 53. That's, 130. So yeah, they still have 32 games to go. The Cardinals only have, 132. So yeah, they have 30 games to go, and the Cubs have 32 games to go. So two games off. But the Cubs have won six in a row. That's going to help. They're 5.5 games up. The Brewers, I don't know what happened to them as they made all those moves and just nothing really happened in the NL Central there. They're still in a playoff spot. But I actually did want to look at their outlook for September. And what they're going to have to do to either keep that playoff spot or maybe make a move in the division. I think that if I'm still counting the Giants in, maybe a little teeny bit, six games, we got to say that the Brewers are still in it. So they have a road trip right now. They're in Cincinnati, and then they're going to be in Washington. So then they come home for some big games against the Cubs. So obviously those games matter. So they still have six more games against the Cubs. They have six more games against the Pirates. They have, including today and tomorrow, they have five games against the Reds and three against the Cardinals. So then they get the Giants in there as well coming to Milwaukee. So that'll be interesting to see. Obviously, that whole, so they got four more games against the Cubs. Six games against the Cubs. And they're literally back-to-back weeks, too, so home and away. That'll be interesting to see how they fare against that. We'll probably have an idea of where they're going to be come September 12th at the end of that game against the Cubs. And then the Cardinals, obviously we saw them a little bit. They have one more series against the Brewers. The Cardinals do, and the Cardinals, they're going to be let's see, right now they're in at home against the Pirates, and they're going to have the Reds, which should be, I mean, the way they're playing, they should be able to beat up on them. And then they go to DC. The thing, the Nationals have been playing well against good teams. They play the Phillies really hard, tough the last two times they played them. They just played like two weekends in a row, so they played them tough twice. I mean, they're going for a sweep today, actually, in Philadelphia. The Nationals are, so watch out for the Nationals. And then they get the Tigers on the road. That'll be interesting. And then they go home for the Pirates. They get the Dodgers for four. They just swept the Dodgers in L.A. So that's not a slouch. And then they go to Atlanta for a quick three-game series before they come back home for the Giants and the Brewers. And then the Cubs at the end of the season. So that can go again. You got the Brewers and the Cubs at the end of the year there. It could all come down to that. It really could. All right, let's go to the games as we're going to cover the games from today and tomorrow, giving you the starting pitchers, the probables, as actually that Mets-Cubs game has restarted already, actually. They're in the top of the 10th right now, one out, runner at second base. As I'm recording this at 10 o'clock, it'll be uploaded in a few minutes anyway. So, but, you know, the Cubs, you'll probably be done by the time you guys are listening to it or whatever. Yeah, that's 1-1 right now. But the Giants and D-backs tonight in San Francisco is going to be Zach Godley against Derek Rodriguez. Both guys have been pitching pretty good. A's and Astros from Houston. That starts at 11:10. That's in an hour, actually. As that'll be Trevor Cahill against Dallas Keuchel. Tigers and Royals, Michael Former against Danny Duffy. Mets and Cubs, that'll be the game, obviously, after this one's over. Supposed to start at 10:20 Pacific time, and I'm not sure how that's going to work since they're still playing the other game. I'm sure that'll be adjusted. It's 11:20. Okay, there we go. That's an hour later, but, I mean, that might get pushed back still. It'll be Jason Vargas against the starter for the Cubs is going to be Alec Mills. He pitched very nicely out there last time he pitched. Mariners and Padres, it'll be Joey Lucchesi for the Padres against the starter for the Mariners, Erasmo Ramirez, as they get to start there for Seattle. Marlins and Red Sox from Boston will be Trevor Richards against David Price. White Sox in the Bronx against the Yankees, it'll be Ronaldo Lopez against CC Sabathia. Blue Jays and Orioles, it'll be Alex Cobb for the Orioles against Ryan Barucci for the Blue Jays. Nats and Phillies, Gio Gonzalez against Jake Arrieta. Brewers and Reds, Freddie Peralta against Matt Harvey. Twins and Indians, it'll be Pluco. That's Trevor. Is that it? Was Adam Pluko against the starter for the Cubs is going to be, or for the Twins is going to be Cole Stewart, right-hander. They're making a start for the Twins. Rays and Braves, it'll be Sean Newcomb for the Braves against the opener for the Rays. It'll be Diego Castillo today. Dodgers and Rangers from Texas, it'll be Alex Wood against Mike Minor. And then the Pirates and Cardinals, it'll be tonight. I believe that's going to be an ESPN game. Pirates and Cardinals, it'll be Trevor Williams against Miles Mikolas on Wednesday. And on Thursday, we go over to the Brewers and Reds. Early game start for this one, Wade Miley against, that's not who I think it is. That's Cody Reed, a left-hander for the Reds, making a start there against Wade Miley. Twins and Indians again, Jake Odorizzi against Mike Clevenger. Tigers, Yankees, Francisco Liriano for the Tigers. The Yankees actually have not announced a starter yet for that game. Pirates, Cardinals again, Joe Musgrove against John Gaunt. Cubs go to Atlanta to face the Braves. That'll be a good series. Mike Montgomery against starter to be determined for the Braves. Red Sox go to face the White Sox in Chicago. Rick Porcello against Lucas Giolito. Angels to go to Houston to play the Astros. Andrew Heaney against a starter to be determined for the Angels. Mariners and A's from Oakland. Wade LeBlanc. This is basically the last ditch effort for the Mariners to try and get back into the picture here against the A's. I think they might have a series against the Astros coming up too, though. So not completely out of it, but you know they need to win some games today this week as well. Wade LeBlanc against Frankie Montas coming up to make a start again. D-backs going to L.A. to face the Dodgers. They have not announced a starter yet. Arizona has not, but they'll face the face Rich Hill for the Dodgers. And the Rockies and Padres from San Diego, Jermaine Marquez against a starter to be determined for the Padres, as that will be the games on Thursday. All right. We'll come back on Friday, cover those games we just previewed for you, see if there's any more movement. Obviously, there's going to be some series starting. I want to look at the Mariners really quick here before we go, because they do have that series against the A's this week. I think, obviously, it's a four-gamer going through the weekend. Yeah. Four-game series starting on Thursday going through the weekend. So that'll be a chance. I mean, you never know. For the A's, either to extend out their lead, extend the gap between them more, which is, of course, what they want to do, or for the Mariners to try and scratch their way back in there. So they do have the four against the A's, and then they play the Astros one more time, three more games against them, all in middle of September, September 6th, 17th, 18th, and 19th in Houston. So that'll be interesting there. But, I mean, it could be, like I said, this is the series that really matters. They need to keep pace with the A's, not worry about the team in front of them. They need to work with the team that's directly in front of them. The Mariners do. That's Oakland in both the wild card and in the NL West, AL West. All right. See you guys on Friday. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.